Mubahila, proof of dynamism of Islam. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam and welcome to a special program on a very special occasion. Today is the anniversary of a unique dialogue in the history of civilization, a dialogue to sift truth from falsehood that led to the acknowledgement of realities of Islam by a delegation of the Christians of Najran. This novel method of determining truth is enshrined in the pages of the Holy Quran, and it established beyond doubt the identity of the pristinely pure personages of Islam, whom God Almighty has kept immune from all sorts of uncleanness. First, listen to Ayah 64 of Surah Ali Imran, where God Almighty says to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, "Say, O Prophet, O people of the book, come to a word common between us and you, that we will worship no one but Allah, and that we will not ascribe any partner to him, and that we will not take each other as lords besides Allah. But if they turn away, say, be witnesses that we are Muslims." The words of God Almighty are crystal clear. The one and only Creator has decreed Islam, which means peace, healthy way of life, and submission to none but God, as the religion of all mankind. Thus, all those who sincerely obey the divine commandments are called Muslims. Islam, which was the theme of the message of all prophets in every land ever since the creation of Adam, became the proper name for the universal message entrusted by the Lord Most High to His last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. No prophet would come after him, nor would any heavenly scripture revealed after the Holy Quran. The chain of divinely designated guidance, not self-assumed pseudo-religious authority, will, however, continue till doomsday. As the mercy unto the whole creation, the prophet preached his message in the most rational manner by presenting facts, cleansing consciences, awakening minds, purifying souls, and instilling love, affection, and compassion in hearts. The pagan Arabs, who were devoid of any humanitarian values and whose hearts were as harsh as the barren and burning landscape of the Arabian desert, persecuted the Prophet in Mecca and those influenced by Islam. Therefore, by the command of Creator, the Prophet migrated to the oasis town of Yathrib, which soon became known as Madinatun Nabi, or the City of the Prophet, and then simply Medina. The people of this city, living in a congenial climate with abundance of palm groves and orchards of pomegranates and other fruits, received him and those that had migrated with him with open arms that facilitated establishment of the first ever Islamic state. For the first time, the world was witnessing a system of administration based on justice, compassion, and other humanitarian values that certainly appealed to people of reason. But for the pagans of Mecca and other infidel Arabs, as well as the ever-scheming Israelites, Islam and Muslims meant end of their free-willing, devilish way of life. The Arabs and the Israelites thus ganged up together to try to kill the Prophet of Peace and to wipe out the system of life called Islam. But to their utter dismay and to the frustration of their accomplices, that is, the hypocrites amongst the Muslims, whatever battles they impose upon him were decisively defeated by his valiant cousin Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, who soon became the Prophet's son-in-law and finally divinely designated vicegerent. The pagan Arabs despite their cannibalistic cruelty in tearing apart the limbs and carving out the liver of the Prophet's uncle Hamza, could do nothing. These rapacious beasts in human form, finding no other option to continue their polytheist ways, would soon pretend to be Muslims, with mouths watering for the riches of other lands through unnecessary wars and bloodshed. Centuries later, these dubious characters would be hailed as Salaf, or progenitors, by like-minded persons craving for violence, vandalism, and massacre of all those who object to their misinterpretation and misuse of Islam. No wonder till this day the hearts of these Takfiri terrorists in whatever land they dwell under various names are full of hatred for the followers of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Because he was the person who had volunteered to sleep on the Prophet's bed on the crucial night of Hijra to thwart the murderous designs of their forebears. Years earlier, as a 10-year boy, Imam Ali was present on Mount Nur when Archangel Gabriel formally entrusted the universal mission of Islam to the Messenger of Mercy, and he was the first one to testify the prophethood of his cousin with the immortal phrase, "Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," meaning Muhammad is God's messenger. God Almighty thus had his own plans to ensure immortality for genuine Islam and those whom he had decreed as its guardians by vouching their pristine purity in Ayah 33 of Surah Al-Ahzab of the Holy Quran. This select group of spotlessly pure persons was called the Ahlul Bayt, or people of the house, and they were made up of the Prophet, his daughter Hazrat Fatima Zahra, her husband Imam Ali, and the couple's two sons Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. The impeccable qualities of this infallible group of persons have been mentioned in several other ayahs of the Holy Quran, such as the giving of alms to a beggar while in genuflection in the state of the ritual prayer and fulfilling the vow of 3 days of fasting but without having a morsel to break the day's fast, since at dusk on all the 3 days the needy, the orphan, and freshly released prisoner happened to knock on their door and were given whatever food that had been prepared. Last but not the least is the dynamic presence of these fabulous five on the field of Mubahala to invoke divine wrath on the liars. After 3 days of an unconvincing dialogue with the Christian priests of Najran on the nature of Prophet Jesus, whether he was God's son or human. Every year, the 24th of Zilhijjah refreshes our thoughts regarding the peaceful nature of Islam and the dynamism of the Prophet and his immaculate Ahlul Bayt. The Holy Quran informs us in Ayahs 59, 60, and 61 of Surah Ali Imran. Indeed, the case of Jesus with God is like the case of Adam. He created him from dust, then said to him, "Be," and he was. This is the truth from your Lord, so do not be among the doubters. Should anyone argue with you concerning him after the knowledge that has come to you, say, "Come, let us call our sons and your sons, our women and your women, our souls and your souls. Then let us invoke and call down Allah's curse upon the liars." On revelation of these ayahs, the Prophet of Islam calmly and confidently strode into the place of rendezvous, and to the surprise of the Christians of Najran, who were present with their women and children, none of his companions were with him, nor were any of the 9 wives that he married in the last 10 years of his life, out of social necessity in order to break the taboos of age of ignorance. The only persons accompanying him were 4 in number, of which 2 were mere children. And of the 2 grown-ups, there was only 1 male in the prime of his manhood, while the other was a fully veiled lady. These fantastic four, where his immaculate daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, his infallible son-in-law, Imam Ali, and his impeccable grandsons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, peace be upon them. On seeing these radiant visages, the Christians were struck with awe. The chief priest advised his flock not to enter into a match of malediction with these pure personages, who were clearly covered with an aura of celestial light. He said if they were to raise their hands to invoke the curse of God, mountains would move and none of the people of Najran who had challenged them would remain alive. It is better, he said, that we conclude peace with the Prophet of Islam and in exchange for being allowed to practice our religion in our homeland, provide Muslims with the things that are abundant in our place and which they require. In view of these undeniable facts that have been mentioned in all authoritative books of Hadith and Islamic history, including those compiled by our Sunni brethren, Mubahala is thus another firm proof of the leadership of the Ahlul Bayt, without whom Islam is meaningless.